Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. Hi there. It's the middle of November 2020. And between the resurgence of the COVID-19 pandemic, racial equity protests, and other news, life feels pretty overwhelming right now. I hope you and your loved ones are hanging in there and doing okay. Here at Qubit, we've been surprisingly busy because it turns out that when business conditions are uncertain, companies suddenly discover they need better analytics. Some of our clients need more planning agility to run lots of what-if scenarios, while others just need a better handle on what is going on in their businesses right now. And then the November-December issue of the Harvard Business Review featured two articles that caught my eye. The first was called "To Recognize Risks Earlier, Invest in Analytics." I couldn't have said it better myself. And the second was called "Getting Serious About Diversity? Enough Already with the Business Case." All this together got me thinking. So today I'm going to make the case that companies that actively and intentionally strive for diversity among their employees and foster an inclusive culture are better positioned to get the most value out of analytics. First, some definitions. Analytics means I can easily get the answers I need to excel at my job. What about diversity and inclusion? What do they mean? No, it's not just about having more women, brown and black people in leadership positions at a company filled with white men. It's about diversity of experience and ideas. But having more women, brown and black people, etc., around is more likely to result in a diversity of experience and ideas. And frankly, if you had a company filled with Asian women, you might want to throw in the odd white man. Diversity cuts all ways. If you're saying now, come on, AG, this analytics and diversity connection is a made-up thing, you are right. It is made up. My true argument is that companies that actively strive for diversity and inclusion are better positioned to be better at anything, including analytics. But since this is the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast, after all, we are going to use analytics as a proxy for anything. Let's start by taking a look at what it takes to add better analytics to the way people work at your company. No one just goes shopping and says, I need some of them there analytics. Well, actually some people do, and it doesn't usually end well. I would call that the old IT approach, also known as build it and they will come. For good reasons, this approach is falling out of favor. It's like a grandparent buying a gaming system for their grandchild. The grandparent thinks, all these video games are the same, and how about I get this one that's on sale at half price that has a Nintendo logo on it? The grandchild is usually thinking of something very specific, influenced by what they and their friends are doing, that the grandparent is clueless about. Sums of money are spent, and no one ends up happy. The new approach to analytics is to start with a business question. This is supported by common sense and validated by surveys conducted by reputable analysts. Here are examples of business questions we talk about at Qubit all the time. How much did we sell last month compared with the same time last year? What is demand going to be in the Southeast? What's happening right now? What really drives my business? Can I play with business assumptions and compare a range of scenarios? Sometimes you can group a bunch of related questions together and call it a financial planning system or a supplier scorecard system,
or even a sales and operations planning system. And then what? Then you need to think about requirements and getting your data organized and selecting a technology. And once you have that, you need to come up with a budget and an operational plan and maybe find some consultants. And then you need to think about testing plans and enablement and rollouts. It is a lot. It's interesting and exciting, but it's a lot. And there's a good chance you or some of your colleagues that you're working with don't have a ton of experience with all of this. So there is a lot to figure out and not much time to do it in, since after all, there is a chance this is all happening on top of your regular day job. Here's my point. Most of this is about working with people. Where do you get analytics requirements? People. Who does end user acceptance testing? People. Who needs to look at data, assess its quality, and figure out if it is the right data to answer the business question? People. Who's going to benefit from the system at the end? People. And by the way, these same people had better be some of the same people helping with the requirements. Technology is just the tool, and you can use it to create something great or an epic failure. People and how they're brought into the process are what makes the difference. Let me repeat that. People and how they're brought into the process are what makes the difference. That's inclusion. And once you have included people, truly included them, so they have a voice and the voice is heard, then what you hope for is to get different perspectives and to create a safe place for people to constructively put their ideas and concerns on the table. If everyone has had a similar life experience and outlook, your list of ideas and concerns will be shorter, dangerously shorter. You won't know what you don't know, which means that you may not be prepared for something you didn't think of, which could end up being the fatal flaw down the road. So, let's recap. An analytics project of any kind has many moving parts and will probably involve technology and different kinds of people. When there are more parts to something, to anything, there are frankly more things that can break. There are more ways for things to go wrong. So, the wise thing to do is to expect things to go wrong, but to try and anticipate the problems ahead of time. We all know that the earlier you can deal with a problem, the better. Problems don't get better with age. So, if you have a well-functioning team where people are not afraid to speak up and express their concerns, you effectively have more sensors out there watching for problems. More sensors means a higher chance of spotting something early. That's good. Now, if in addition to a well-functioning team, you have a diverse team with different experiences and sensitivities, that's like having more sensors of different kinds, meaning a higher chance of spotting a wider range of different problems early. That's even better. It's common sense, but it's also what we see as consultants working with different companies. Once I did a project at a consumer goods manufacturer that had a very homogenous all-female finance team. They were located in an affluent, pretty much all-white suburb of a major metropolitan area. They had come up with a really great vision for how they wanted their end users to interact with the forecasting system that we were helping them with. Unfortunately, they had convinced themselves and each other that there could be no compromises on that vision, even in the face of evidence that there was probably no technology in the world that could meet their stringent functional and performance requirements for the price they were willing to pay. Having someone on that team with a different outlook, educational background, or work experience may have been able to help them be more flexible. In the end, they spent more money and time than they should have, sacrificing what could have been a good solution in pursuit of an unreachable perfect dream. And then there was an investment bank. Now, the investment bank actually had a very diverse team. There were women and African Americans and Europeans and white Americans. There was even a differently abled person. They were all smart and very nice individually. But sadly, the company culture was not inclusive. It was such that no one trusted each other at the team level, and so no one ever spoke up. Problems were assumed to be insurmountable, so no one even tried to address them. Sadly, even though they had diversity, since there was no inclusion, they completely squandered the tremendous asset they had, and the project ran grossly over budget unnecessarily. Obviously, diversity can mean many things, and racial or gender or economic background or whatever diversity is really only a proxy for true functional diversity. But it's a start, and it has to go hand in hand with inclusion and collaboration to get the full benefit. And if you are going to amp up your analytics capabilities, as frankly you must, with pandemics changing your business conditions and the speed of business going through the roof, then you will do well to remember that it's less about technology, though technology is important. I'm not discounting the complexity of technology, but it is more about people working together to transform business processes. Think of diversity and inclusion as a risk mitigation strategy as part of your analytics implementation. It can save you money and protect you from being part of yet another big failed IT project. And maybe, just maybe in the process, we'll do our bits to foster more trust and understanding in the world. That wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.